The paper shredder is in the building. I'll sound like my guy, Stu Finer. The paper shredder is here. It's here. Yeah, they got me a paper shredder. So we're going to shred some teams. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. And I do have this construction hat on, but the construction hat needs some construction. They give me a construction hat. It's not even a proper construction hat. I look like, who's the dude, Stu, again? Was it the Great Kazoo or whatever his name was? Whatever that guy was. In the Jetsons? I'm pretty sure it was the name of the show. That's what I look like if the hat was just green. But anyway, I got my big fancy paper shredder. Manny, you gotta like this thing, right? It's a good paper shredder. Got any documents you want to get rid of?
I don't, but I think you might have some teams that you want to get rid of, right?
I do, yeah. We'll get to that. Like, we don't have to go right to it.
All right,
Bryson Daly's going to join us coming up at 4:20 p.m. Eastern time from the Army football team, which is undefeated to start off the season and is 23rd right now in the country. I am Zach the Builder. I saw Two-Tone Tony said you look like Bob the Builder. So we got some teams to shred right here on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I think we're going to do this maybe once a week, potentially every other week. It's whenever I feel compelled to shred a group of teams. So what we're shredding are teams' playoff chances. So this is the first time we're doing this. So we will go to six teams today, and only six teams. And I'll put the team up there on our high-budget operation, by the way, which are just team logos. That's it. Black and white, because we don't have color printers around here. I don't know why. And whenever I make the decision on that team, if they survive to another week, I'll just discard their logo to my left. But if I put it into the paper shredder to my right, they're donezo. Now, I got a note here from Matt Weller, who's our office manager. He goes, the boss, Chris Oliveira, was very concerned about this segment because they thought you may lose a finger here. So they had to run it by corporate, actually. I kid you not. They had to run this by corporate, and corporate said I did not have to wear gloves or any protective wear, but they did give me this hat just to look like an idiot. So that's pretty much the way that we're doing things. All righty, here we go. First team up, the Carolina Panthers. Quite frankly, we probably could have said the Carolina Panthers season was over before it even started. Unfortunately, Andy Dalton got in the car accident. Now Bryce Young is going to be starting again. It doesn't matter. The Carolina Panthers are an inept organization. They do not have enough talent. They don't have a quarterback right now. And the defensive side of the ball, Derek Brown out for the season. Their linebacker, Shaq, is done for the season as well. This team just stinks. Even in an NFC South that has two decent teams, but it was kind of there for the taking. The Carolina Panthers are absolutely screwed. They are going in the paper shredder. Now, hold on a second. Where's the top of this paper shredder? There it is. Hold on. Here we go. Let's shred this sucker. There we go. The Panthers are in the paper shredder. They're done. I apologize to my guys, Mac and Bone, on WFNZ. Because each and every year, they go on WFNZ, on their popular morning radio program. And they try to talk themselves into why the Carolina Panthers aren't going to be a dysfunctional mess. And I do that hit with them every Friday in football season at 9:20 or 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, and maybe actually 9:25. You know, the last 3 years I've been very good about remembering the time. This year I've been at the gym, I've been sleeping, you know, I've just been all over the place. For some reason, I can't remember when I'm supposed to go on with Mac and Bone this year. But after week two, after week one, they were like, yep, Gelby, you were right. And I had them winning actually week one. And I got blown out. I think it was up against the Saints. They were like, Gelby, this team's going nowhere. All right. Talking about a team that's going nowhere. The Tennessee Titans. They don't believe in their quarterback. I know they've sat down Will Levis because of the injury. They just got rid of DeAndre Hopkins. Calvin Ridley is there all by himself. I know you got Tony Pollard, but this team just stinks. And whenever the coach hates the quarterback, that is misery for sure. The Tennessee Titans say goodbye to your playoff chances, and you are going in the paper shredder. Come on, shred, let's go. I usually don't struggle with this because I'm a tall human being. I'm not like Dustin Pedroia, another shot that Will Middlebrooks was leaving. But this paper shredder is so high up, and my chair is so low, I am having a a hard time finding where the paper goes in. I had to be very careful how I was going to say that, because that could have sounded very sexual, and I did not want Manny Rodriguez to use any drops against me. All righty. How about them Cowboys? The drama, Dallas choking Cowboys. What was that noise? Why did you already start to put them in the paper shredder? You don't know what I'm doing here, Manny Rodriguez.
Oh, it's just my personal touch, personal editorial.
Yeah, you can't stand the Cowboys.
I cannot.
But here's the problem. You're a Giants fan.
That's right.
The Giants stink.
Oh, I'm well aware.
The Cowboys are not getting shredded today. They are not in the circle of trust. They are inching closer and closer and closer to the paper shredder, but they are not there yet. Let's see what happens a few weeks from now. The Cowboys are an okay team. They are not a great team. They're not a trash team, but an okay team this year can make the postseason. So Dallas fans, Jerry Jones, you don't have to call up Odyssey and try to get me fired. We are not putting you in the paper shredder yet. We put the Cowboys down for now. Miami has the Dolphins, the greatest football team. They move the ball from goal to goal. Go marching, 1, 2, 3. I think that's a song. It's been a while. But the Dolphins are getting Tua Tagovailoa back. And even though Miami is coached by an overrated coach in Mike McDaniel, having Tua Tagovailoa back is massive. Even though he's not great and he's just good, but he's paid like he's an elite quarterback, having Tua Tagovailoa back is big, because the other 2-3 guys that were trying to throw the football in Miami were so incompetent that Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle had like 1 or 2 catches this past weekend. So getting Tua back is going to put lipstick on the pig of the Miami Dolphins, and it will save them from going into the paper shredder from now. So the Dolphins' playoff hopes, still alive. All righty.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Stu, can I get a Raiders chant from you? I've never heard you do a Raiders chant.
Raiders.
Huh. Usually when I hear that, it's coming from, like, drunk people.
Yeah.
So when you do that, it just kind of sounded sad there, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I'm a sad Raiders fan.
Like, you got to have a little more, like, of a baritone sound, I feel like, when you do that. Or a drunk sound to you.
I don't. Like, yeah.
I sound like an old man that had like a back issue, and he's like, "Oh!" That's what I sounded like. All right, Manny, can I get your Raider chant there?
All I have to do is say Raiders?
You got
to
just go. They go like this. Ready? Raiders! Right, Stu? That's how they do it.
That's how they do it.
Okay, go ahead.
Raiders! Was that all right?
Kind of sucked.
Well, this is why I'm an East Coast guy.
The Raiders stink. Okay? They don't have a quarterback. Max Crosby should be traded for saving Max Crosby, because for some reason, he gives blind loyalty to this organization. But I'm in a giving mood today. Even though the Raiders got rid of Devontae Adams, I just want to be nice to my team. The Raiders will be in the paper shredder absolutely the next time we do this segment. But the first time we do this segment, I do not want to ruin the hopes and dreams of Stuart Kovacs. Because Stu still goes to bed at night. And before he puts on his onesie, before he gets into bed and has a little sippy cup with milk and he has some cookies that Angie makes him, he goes, I still believe in the Raiders. There's still a chance. There is still a chance the Raiders are going to be good this year. So I don't want to ruin Stu's hopes and dreams. I'm going to be careful how I say this on the radio, because I know there's a lot of young kids listening. There's a holiday where people think something is real. I don't want to be the guy that tells you it isn't real, okay? When it comes to presents. So I don't want to be the guy that tells Stu, hey, this isn't going to happen, at least for this week. I will eventually be the Grinch that stole Stumas coming up in about a week. But right now, Stu, I'm a nice guy. You need to pick me up. You still have hope. Very little hope. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they stink. I feel bad for Doug Peterson, I do. Good guy, but he's going to lose his job with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They were playing the Patriots last week, and they're incompetent coach right now in Gerard Mayo. So one incompetent team beat another incompetent team. You're still an incompetent team. the Jacksonville Jaguars are going in the paper shredder. All right, Manny. See, you're not on this show full time, so I don't have to work with you all the time.
Yeah, go ahead.
So your football team, the New York Football Giants. Can I just ask a quick question?
Go ahead.
Because this will determine if I put the team in the paper shredder or not.
Oh, God.
Are you working with us tomorrow?
No.
You're not?
No.
Why not?
Ask our higher ups. I don't know.
You're not scheduled with us tomorrow?
Negative, Coach.
Who do I got tomorrow, Stu? Do we know?
Nico.
Oh, okay. We got an upgrade. Oh.
Okay. All right. Well, come run the board then now.
I can. Hey, there was once a time I ran the board, hosted the show, sold the advertisements, and screened the phone calls while I was on the air. I'd play an audio clip. Hey, it's Zach Gelb. It's Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Oh, what's your name? And then
South
put
Jersey
them right
days.
On hold. Yep. So, trust me. I could run the board if I needed to and host the show. I shouldn't probably say that out loud because the management will probably come to me and say, well, eliminate
a position. Yeah, please don't do that. Please don't do that.
So you know what? I cannot run the board. I am terrible at running the board. Absolutely terrible. I would be firing off all the wrong audio. I wouldn't know how to turn the microphones on. This is how the show would sound like if I was running the board. See, you couldn't hear anything for about 2-3 seconds right there. So, the Giants. Yikes. I'm trying to find a reason to uplift Manny Rodriguez. Manny, any last words before I shred the Giants? Anything that could save their season?
Jalen Brunson.
What? I can't even find the slot.
No,
yet.
You can't. This is embarrassing now.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to stand up.
This might be worse than the Giants offensive performances.
You're going to see a lot of midsection right here.
Oh, dear.
Any last words to save the Giants? Any last words, Manny?
Not at all.
Why not? You don't want to save him?
No,
I still can't find him.
No, you sure? Yes.
No last words?
I'm good.
You're done? You're not watching? You're a Bills fan again?
None of that is true.
Shut up! We're shredding you! Shred! Shred!
There we go.
The Patriots. See, I got someone say this to me. Well, that was a long shred in the Giants. I think that was shredding like the last 2 or 3 seasons, if I'm being honest.
Thank you, Zach.
The Patriots. Someone said, oh, well, Zach shred his own team's logo. I love the Patriots. I love the New England Patriots. But they suck. So anyone thought that this team was good heading into this season, I want to know what drugs you are on. The offensive line's terrible. They have no wide receivers. They have someone at quarterback in Drake May that looks like they could be a good quarterback in this league. But Jerod Mayo right now, here's my biggest problem with him. You know, a lot of times he's putting his foot in his mouth. That's one issue. But number two, the biggest problem I have outside of putting the foot in the mouth is this. That defense last year was solid. And he was on the staff. You take Bill Belichick out, a lot of the players are the same, and the defense stinks. So let me see if I could get it right here. The Patriots in the paper. What happened? It started to shred and then it stopped. Did this run out of battery?
Oh, no.
It's plugged in. Let's see. The paper shredder's broken. Oh, no, it's not. I think I need a desk next time. Like just a side desk so we could do the paper shredder correctly. This is getting tough. The Cleveland Browns. Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Nope. We're shredding the Cleveland Browns. The Browns are going in the paper shredder. And then finally, the New York Jets. All right, let's go around the room here. You think I'm shredding them or not? This is to miss the playoffs. They will not be a playoff team. Yes or no?
Shredded.
Stu, what are we going with?
I think they're very close, but no. No shred.
Yeah. I'm going to put them aside for now. Aside for now. I don't think the Jets are any good. I think the Jets are a bad football team. Their defense is vastly overrated. Davante Adams comes in and he's chewing everybody out. Aaron Rodgers is banged up, playing on one leg. Garrett Wilson dropping balls left and right. And Breece Hall's too inconsistent. And Jeff Ulbrich is worse than Robert Saleh. But the Jets are a circus. I enjoy a dysfunctional circus. Some may say a dysfunctional segment like what we're doing right now because I'm in preseason mode. I didn't have an off season. I'm like Hassan Reddick. I'm walking in a few weeks late. That was pretty good. I'm walking in a few weeks late and I'm trying to perform at the highest level. So I will work on my paper shredding abilities and I will give the Jets a pass for one more week. One more week. One more week for the JTS Jets. Alrighty. So to not make the playoffs, already eliminated, Patriots, Browns, Titans, Panthers, Giants, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. We will see who we shred next week. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Bryson Daly, the Army quarterback, will join us next. Alrighty, we continue. This is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Army is ranked 23rd in the country. The Black Knights are 7-0, and their QB is Bryson Daly, who had 6 total touchdowns against ECU, and he also leads the nation in rushing touchdowns this year. And Bryson is kind enough to join us right now. Bryson, first off, congratulations on your success. We appreciate the time, and how you been?
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you for having me on. We're doing great right now. We're just trying to get ready for Air Force.
Yeah, so your season so far, 629 passing yards, 7 passing touchdowns. I mentioned, right, you lead the nation in rushing with 19 rushing touchdowns, and you have 909 rushing yards. For you individually, I know you're a team guy, obviously, but how do you put your individual season in perspective so far?
Yeah, I think it's gone well. There's still stuff I left out there that I wish I could have back. You know, a lot more yards to be gained. A couple, missed passes here and there, missed runs here and there. But the guys around me blocking it up really well, and I've been able to make some plays. So it's been really good for the offense and the team.
You've taken a big jump from last year to this year. We had a good season last year, but now you've become kind of a national star and you're getting all this Heisman hype as well. Just how do you explain the jump and how you got better from last year to this year?
Yeah, I think just as a whole unit, we got a lot better. And that, Trent, that comes over to my stats and a lot of the other guys' stats as well. You look at our team as a whole, like we're leading the nation in rushing. We're very efficient in the pass game. And that just comes from, a lot of things happen in the offseason and just guys really coming together and playing well. But it's pretty wild, the difference in media attention from this year to last year. Been crazy. I think guys have been handling well, though, listening to everything and just keeping focused on what really matters.
So now you're on these Heisman lists. What is that like for you? I'm sure it's an award, obviously, that you followed growing up as a kid, and now your name is getting mentioned as potentially being a finalist in New York City in December.
Yeah, it's an absolute honor. I still can't believe it anytime I see it. It's pretty crazy. But it's an honor, and it's a true testament to what we're doing here in this program, in this place. And, the guys around me, they must be playing pretty dang well to have me in the discussion at all. So it's an honor, and it's really good for this program.
Have you let your mind go there, what it would be like to be sitting down and they say, and the Heisman Trophy goes to, and you're a finalist and one of the guys that are there that could potentially win the award? Have you thought about that?
You think about it all the time, growing up as a college football fan, you dream of being in those spots. But I try not to think about it too much. I'm really a, 1 week at a time type guy. And that's what this team is. That's our mentality. So I'm trying not to think too far ahead to anything like that. But I think every college football player as a kid, being a fan, has thought of those moments and, thought it'd be pretty cool.
When you were making your decision on where to go and spend your college career and go play football, what led Bryson Daly to Army?
It was a bigger decision than football. It's a great education. It is big time football. It's an opportunity to serve my country. And this is a very special place. And I witnessed that on my visit, fell in love with the guys that were here, the coaches, and just everything that this place stands for. And I fell in love with that. And it was an easy decision once I came up and saw it. And the opportunity to play big time football was also a big selling point as well.
Do you have, like, your family, any military background? Just wondering.
No, a great grandpa was in World War II and never met him, but that's it. No military experience. So there was definitely a lot of eye opening experiences when I got here, and there still is to this day. But no military family.
Yeah. What have you learned really about yourself then the last few years? Because that's an incredible, like, growing up process that you're going through.
100%. I'm a different guy than I was when I got here. Really changes you from a boy to a man. The school in general, this program, there's so many transformations. You learn a lot about yourself, and I think I'm a better man for it because I came here, and I thank God every day that I'm here.
Bryson Daly here with us. I just have so much respect for you and obviously everyone that's on your football team, because we know what you guys do on the field, but then off the field, just absolutely tremendous. So with that being said, like, kind of take me through the daily life of one Bryson Daly. Like, what is the daily schedule like? What is a normal day for you these days?
Yeah, so normal day, you know, we wake up about 6:30. We make sure our uniform of the day is looking good. We go to formation. You know, they count us off, make sure we're all there and alive, I guess. Then we go to breakfast, all 4,000 cadets eat in about 15 minutes, in and out. And then we go to breakfast from about 8 to noon. And then we come up here, and from 1 to about, you know, 7:30, 8, we're up here, you know, doing football stuff. And then get some homework, a little bit of homework done that you can, and then get to bed as early as possible and do it all again the next day.
Does it make practice a little bit easier?
Yeah, practice is like kind of the escape and something to get to do something you love with your brothers, your best friends. So, practice is that escape, and it's a fun part of the day.
And I've had a chance throughout the years to talk to Coach Monk, and we usually get a chance to talk to him before Army plays Navy, which we could actually see twice this year. We'll get to that in just a second. But what do you love so much about Coach Monken?
He's the same guy every day. He's the most consistent person I've ever been around. And that's great for, you know, having a leader like that, because you know what you're going to get. And you know he's going to hold you to a standard, and he's going to keep the team consistent as well. So, you know, he's an awesome leader for us. He really sets the culture of, you know, being tough, being consistent, and it's awesome that we have him leading us.
You know, for what you just said, with not much military background, obviously, outside the grandfather, obviously you said you fell in love with the school when you got up there. You know, some people from afar would be like, hey, he could have gone somewhere else and taken an easier road where he could just focus on football. Why do you think that was the right decision for you and something that you obviously thought you needed to fall in love with it right away?
Well, the first thing when I started talking to the players when I came here, every guy I talked to, they seemed just like me, like same mentality, you know, same goals in life. You know, this was all bigger than football. I really just fell in love with the people that were here. And I knew if I wanted to be the man I wanted to be, then I needed to come to this place and, you know, follow in the footsteps of these guys.
Is there anyone that you kind of used as a resource, whether it was with Army, Navy? Like, I remember Keenan Reynolds at Navy all those years ago, who had some Heisman hype as well. Has there been some guys that you've leaned on to kind of like guide and find a way to navigate through some of these challenges?
Yeah, I think the entire quarterback room, you know, before I got here, and when I got here, there's so many guys that, you know, reached out. I met Kelvin Hopkins on my visit. He was awesome. And then once I got here, guys like Christian Anderson, Jabari Laws, Tyre Tyler, Jamel Jones, Cade Ballard, all those guys were in the room with me, and they showed me what it meant to be an Army quarterback and an Army football player. And they still reach out to this day, and they're awesome guys. And, you know, very thankful that I got to grow up in the program under those guys.
Now, I know you're getting ready for the game coming up in 2 weeks up against Air Force. Bryson Daly's here with us for a few more minutes. But playing Navy potentially in the AAC championship game, and then maybe again a week later. I know you're one game at a time, 1 week at a time. I understand that. But, man, that's, you got to be hearing some of that chatter that's starting to exist on that matchup, right?
Oh, yeah. We hear it all the time. And, you know, it's something that that we heard could be a possibility at the start of the season when we came into the conference. It's pretty wild to think about that it could happen. But, you know, we're just trying to do our part on our end to get to that championship game. Can't worry about it too much, like you said, but it is crazy that it could happen 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I know you guys are going to play Notre Dame at Yankee Stadium coming up in a few weeks. Navy plays Notre Dame this weekend. How about their quarterback and Blake Horvath and what you've been able to see?
Yeah, they're playing well over there. Obviously, they're having a good season, and he's playing well also. You know, excited to watch their game against Notre Dame this weekend. You know, since we're a bye week, we'll be watching. It should be some good football on this weekend, and that's one of them.
Yeah, when you watch some of these players around the country, because, right, you're in the smack of the Heisman Trophy conversation. There's been a big conversation about Ashton Jeanty at Boise State, and then also Travis Hunter at Colorado. Just thoughts on a far about those two players.
Yeah, big fan of those guys, man. I remember watching some Ashton Jeanty highlights like week two of the season, and no one was really talking too much about him yet. And I was showing guys in the locker room. I was like, look at this running back.
Wow.
He is special. And so watching him, and then all watching Travis Hunter, it's unreal. I don't know how he does it both ways. That's incredible. It's pretty taxing on a body to play one way for a full game. So he's incredible as well. So it's pretty cool just to, you know, even be lowly mentioned with incredible players like that. But definitely big fans of those guys as well.
Yeah, and then for the quarterbacks, you also see Dylan Gabriel get a ton of play, Cam Ward as well. Anything you kind of get impressed about when you watch those two guys too?
Yeah, those guys, you know, incredible players. You know, Cam Ward's been all over the place, a lot of different schools, and he's just done awesome anywhere he's been. And same with Dylan Gabriel, you know, just really impressive players. You know, they'll play for a long time. And, you know, watching those guys, I think I'm a fan of college football, so I'm a fan of all those really good players. They're playing awesome as well.
For someone that hasn't seen you play yet, how would you describe your game? What do you want people to know about your game that Bryson Daly brings to a football field?
I hope the first thing they see is toughness, you know, because that's a pillar of our program. That's, you know, something playing for my dad. That's what he always preached, wanted me to be a tough player. So just toughness and effort is the, you know, the number one and two things that hopefully people see when they watch me.
And what would you say? Like, I'm a Heisman Trophy voter. Why should we consider you for the Heisman Trophy right now? Just wondering.
I don't know. We're playing really well. I mean, we're winning ball games. But, you know, hopefully I'll let them make those decisions. But hopefully they're watching us. And if we continue to win, you know, never know.
Last thing I'll ask you, playing at Yankee Stadium coming up in a bit. It's got to be pretty damn cool, right?
That is, yeah, it'll be cool. We've played at an MLB ballpark. We played down at Texas Rangers Stadium my freshman, sophomore year. So that was really cool. And a historic place like Yankees, you know, we go there all the time, take the train, watch games. It'll be cool playing in there against a great team in Notre Dame.
Well, I love your story. I love what you've been doing on the field, and obviously much respect with what you do away from the football field as well. I really appreciate your time today and the insight. Thank you for doing this.
Yep, appreciate it. Beat Navy.
There you go. Bryson Daly joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Really enjoyed that conversation with the Army quarterback, and clearly, as expected, a very classy man when he's talking about the other teams around the country and also his team as well. And what a story that is with Army and Navy, both being undefeated, both in the top 25. And Ack, I know you're like a college football historian. I know there's a lot of changes in college football. I think the conference realignment, even though from a traveling standpoint, it doesn't make a lot of sense, but you got a lot of these big games and the teams know that there's some insurance now with the 12-team college football playoff format. But I think having the conference changes has actually made the sport feel bigger this year. But we always know the classic rivalries, and some of these rivalries are going away with the conference changes. Something that will never go away is Army playing Navy, and now they're both in the American Athletic Conference. And how cool would that be if you have them playing in the conference championship game, Army-Navy, and then you get it the next week once again? And imagine, right, the revenge factor if you lose the conference championship game then the next week, but then how humiliating it would be and how dominant of a way it would be if, let's say, Army was able to beat Navy or vice versa in the AAC championship game, and then they were able to replicate that once again.
Well, I think that'll be interesting because you have two teams that are going to be playing twice, so there are no secrets. So you can't leave it all in the bag for one and then come back out in the other, because they're both huge games. But after Christmas, it's the only good reason to think about December.
Yeah, and really when you had the Big Ten get rid of the divisions, you know, people were like, oh, you'll have Ohio State play Michigan Thanksgiving weekend, and then you could get them the next week in the Big Ten championship game. And there was even a thought, I think it was coming from Ryan Day, of potentially moving the Ohio State-Michigan game. And I forget who made the point, but someone made that point, you know, whoever wins the game the first time with how close those teams are, you know, heading into the season and where it was. Now, obviously, Michigan is just not a good football team this year because they don't have a quarterback. But if you look at it the last 3 years, when Michigan has beat Ohio State, a lot of people thought, oh, if they had both those two strong teams, the team that won the first time would then probably lose the second time, right? You probably think it would split.
Maybe, yep.
But if it goes the one way where if like Michigan was able to beat Ohio State that in that rivalry game, the game, and then able to beat them again, it's like the ultimate trump card. Like, hey, we beat you twice in a season. And
very true.
And it's really humiliating if you're the team that loses twice.
Very true. I've never been big on the whole conference realignment. I know you probably think differently, and maybe, you know, it's of a younger generation. But I miss, and these are long gone rivalries. You know, used to be Thanksgiving weekend was also Nebraska Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. That was a huge one. That's no more too.
So. Yeah, no, I think there's some good. I think there's some bad. Mm-hmm. The conference realignment, I'm usually more with you, where I don't love it. Mm-hmm. And I know why it's done. It's for football. Like, what happened to the Big East? I know the Big East has survived, but as a kid growing up, Big East basketball in New York City,
there
was nothing
anymore
like it. And it's different. You know, they were able to restore it, but it will never be what it once was.
Nope.
But I thought that I was on a show in Waco, Texas the other day, and they made that point, like, why do you think college football feels like just so strong this year? And they asked me all these different cases, you know, NIL, you know, the transfer portal. They were talking about the expansion. I actually think it's a conference realignment because now you're getting a bunch of these big schools in the same conference going up against
one
another.
That's part of it. I do think the NIL and transfer portal, because I think the rich have gotten richer. I think I don't think you're seeing the great side. Maybe I'm wrong, but you know, I always liked when I did do eye on college football.
Yeah.
It's going back, but you know, there was Utah State when Jordan Love was there. There was Lance Leipold at Buffalo. There were some great stories within the game that weren't, you know, as prominent, but nonetheless great stories. And I'm not saying that's that team or that guy or that story isn't there anymore. But you know, PJ Fleck before he got to Minnesota.
Sure.
I think you're seeing less of those, or at least that's what it feels like to me.
But you would agree the most prestigious award in college football is the Heisman Trophy, right?
Absolutely.
Like this year, right now, Ashton Jeanty at Boise State is the odds-on favorite to win it. So
yeah,
there's still a room for that, but it takes a special person like Ashton Jeanty to not just get the biggest bag of cash that he could get and stay where he's comfortable and happy at right now, which he has with Boise State, which
is going to be a fun game. When I was a kid, the Heisman Trophy was dominated by running backs. And now it's flipped. It's now the quarterback.
Yeah, now it's quarterback, and Cam Ward, Dylan Gabriel, Bryson Daly all going to try to make the case to go win the award. One more thing that I wanted to throw by you, and I just forgot about it. We were talking about, since you mentioned Eye on College Football when you did it, and then you also did Eye on Football. So Ack would have long Saturdays and even longer Sundays, I feel, feel like.
No weekend.
You more, right now in the year of 2024, a college football guy or an NFL guy?
NFL.
Okay. I think
One thing like college football has to do, they have to shorten the game.
Okay, that's fair. I think there's too many penalties in the NFL, and it's a sloppy product because there's really no great off-season program anymore. You know, I know they don't have preseason and like that in college football, but there's still no CBA in college football, so they could get a cleaner product week one because they do more tackling and things like that. I think more people think I'm an NFL guy, even though I have great excitement for college football. On Saturdays, I find myself enjoying myself more now than on NFL Sundays.
The thing about college football, and through no fault of its own versus the NFL, you know, the NFL is, you know, the matchups are more even on a game. You know, you got, because, and again, it's
and there's more passion in the stands too.
Yeah, well, you know what, you get a couple of good, really good matchups a week in college football, but every matchup is pretty good in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, that's and you get,
I don't know, this year.
Well, you know,
I don't think there's ever an off weekend in college football. Like even a few weeks ago, we're like, oh, this weekend stinks. You saw Vanderbilt beat Alabama.
But you don't have 10 good matchups every week.
Okay. Do you have 10 good matchups in the NFL though? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's 2/3 of the games.
Fair enough. All right, it is Zach Gilb show, the Infinity Sports Network we're up against, so let's take a break. When we come on back, is there anything Alabama can do to save face for the rest of the season, and who is the person that is most important for Alabama to save face this year? We'll get to that on the other side. Update time first. Here is the Ackman, Rich Ackerman. I don't know what it is. Well, first off, let me tell you about something. That's this portion of the Zach Gilb show on the Infinity Sports Network is brought to you by Ethos Life. The easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Two rejoins that you played today, Manny. I don't have a problem with the actual song selection because I like all kinds of music. You know, some days I could listen to country, some days I could listen to EDM, some days I could listen to rock, rap. Like, I'm all over the place when it comes to music. But two songs that you've played today, the first 5 seconds sound like they are ringtones from back in the day that, like, you would record and then upload onto your phone off a recording that you would have on, like, a big bassy speaker, and then you would upload them into your phone. That's what I just heard in the first 3 seconds or 4 or 5 seconds of the song that you just played. At least it sounded that way in my headphones. It sounded like it was, like, off a recording, and then it, like, picks up, and it's like, boom. Okay, then it sounded good. So I don't know what you're doing today.
Do you like it or do you not like it?
All right, let's see, play the song coming back one more time. Play it from the beginning. I liked it there. The first, like, 2 seconds, though, what the heck was that?
That's just how the song starts. Don't blame me.
Terrible.
Blame Glass Animals.
Terrible. Terrible. Glass Animals?
Yeah, it's a good song.
By the way, did you see the big breakup in the music world? Did you?
Travis and Taylor?
No.
Oh.
Jeez. Why do you have to do that?
You scared. What other
why
couple
did you,
is
why,
that?
Why are you so excited about that?
I wasn't excited. That was more heartbreak. That was more shock.
Okay. Brianna Chicken Fry and Zach Bryan. Brianna Chicken Fry, the Barstool Sports personality. Zach Bryan, the famous country singer. No more. No more. Broke up. So I'm a big consumer of Barstool Sports and right, the video stuff that they put out there. And I even watch a lot of that BFF podcast with Josh Richards and Brianna Chicken Fry and Dave Portnoy. And they released an episode last night. And they talk a lot about relationships on that too. So I'm getting ready to watch because I saw the video. I feel terrible for Brianna. You know, I saw a video, 3-minute video that she put out of her crying, like, hey, the relationship's no more and all that. And when I went to go watch the hour episode, like, had a bowl of popcorn, was sitting down, ready to go, watch the whole episode, there was a disclaimer. We recorded on Monday before the breakup became public, so we did not address it in this video. If you want to see her addressing the breakup, we ended up, she ended up putting out a 3-minute video. So that was like, ugh, what do I watch now? So this is going to be real morbid. Real morbid. There was a documentary that came out, or an interview that came out of someone that has been locked up for 20 years now because of murder. And this person did their first interview since, right, getting thrown away and locked up in the slammer. I think we all remember the Scott and Lacey Peterson case. So Lacey Peterson, you know, unfortunately got murdered. She was pregnant, like 8 months pregnant, and it ended up was her husband who did the murder. Now, that was like a huge case. Even like I remember that when I was young. It was on the West Coast, and even living in the East Coast, it was like a national story. So I said, oh, I wanted to watch this. And I guess now they're thinking he's innocent, which, hey, I don't know how many episodes there are, but I watched the first 2 episodes. There is no way that he's innocent. He was cheating on her, and then they had like this mysterious mistress and all that. So there are some like faulty parts where like they make you believe, oh, maybe he is innocent. But how they started off, they try to make it really convincing. They have someone that's a family member. And I thought it was one of her family members basically saying like, hey, he's innocent. But it was his brother's, you know, Scott Peterson's brother's wife. Like if it was one of her family members, okay, maybe I could think he's innocent. But since it was his brother's wife, I'm like, well, of course you're going to think your brother-in-law is innocent. But if it was on the other side, that would have maybe made me think he was innocent. But I watched the first 2 episodes. Tonight I got to watch Pitt and Syracuse. I also got to watch, obviously, the Thursday night football game where Puka Nacua is playing. I heard Axe say that. So Puka Nacua is going to play. He had a good poker face the other day, Stu, when he was with us. When I asked him, and he's like, hey, I am day-to-day. Like, he didn't rule it out. But he just, you couldn't get a read on Puka Nacua if he was going to play or not. But I did watch the first 2 episodes of the Scott Peterson interview and this docuseries that they did put out. I think there's 2 more episodes to go. But definitely going to watch the other two whenever I do get an opportunity. I think there's two more. I think it's four total episodes. Because like, oh, you know, you could load episode three, and then I think there was an episode four, and I don't think there was anything after that. But I watched 2 hours of that last night, and I'm like, eh, probably not a smart idea right before you go to bed to watch something about murder. I feel like that will just trigger some sort of nightmare or something like that, but I didn't have any dreams last night that I at least remember. I didn't have any nightmares. I didn't wake up in the middle of the night with, like, just, you know, sweat, in a cold sweat and screaming, you know, thinking about that. But I think he is guilty. I know he's been in the slammer for 20 years, but sometimes people get locked up and wrongly put into the slammer. I have not been convinced yet for a long period in the two episodes that he is innocent. All righty. It is Zach Gilch on the Infinity Sports Network. We were supposed to talk about Alabama there. So how does Alabama save their season? Win out, right? You got to make the college football playoff. There's the hot take of the day. That's what they pay me the big bucks, folks. Stay in school, folks. Stay in school. No, but like, all kidding aside, Alabama has to win out. Alabama with two losses, they probably should be out of the playoff contention, but there's 12 teams now. You know, they lost to Tennessee. They lost to Vanderbilt. It's got to be Jalen Milroe. You got to grow up now. You got to. Jalen Milroe looked lost on the field last week. Terrible decision-making and no awareness. And everyone wants to crush the coach in Kalen DeBoer. The defense played well. I know he's an offensive-minded coach, but his quarterback, they should have been up by more, and he had some terrible decision-making, and he threw a horrendous pick when they were driving. And they should have been up by more at halftime than 7-0. All righty, Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. We can come on back. 10 teams in college football that Stu views as disappointing. On the disappointing meter, one little disappointment, 10, all the disappointment in the world. Where am I at on those 10 schools?